It's been 54 days now since Puerto Rico was hit by Hurricane Maria, and the people there are still recovering. Even today, more than half of Puerto Rico is without power. It's been called the longest blackout in U.S. history. Just a few days ago, the general in charge of the Army's emergency response to Hurricane Maria announced that his mission on the island had ended. Other agencies like the National Guard and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, they're staying on. Since the storm, we've been checking in with Alfredo Richner. He's a journalist based just outside of San Juan, getting updates, finding out how people on the island are coping. Alfredo, thanks for being back. How are you and your family doing?
Thank you for having me back on the show. We're doing fine. You know, we're getting through it, as we say back here.
Yeah. And just like everyday life, how is it still being affected by the destruction from Hurricane Maria? What have you now kind of gotten accustomed to?
I mean, we still don't have power at home or internet. We go to sleep really early now and wake up really early.
What did it take for you to get this Wi-Fi today for this interview?
I'm working from a nonprofit in Hato Rey in San Juan called Grupo Guayacan. I've been able to do some work from their offices.
Right, but you're trying to cobble it together. Nothing is easy right now.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What about FEMA? Because we're seeing some criticism of that agency sending care packages of junk food like chocolate pudding and Skittles. What's being said about that? I mean, we should say, too, that Washington is defending these snack foods, and they're also saying we are sending meals ready to eat. But as for the junk food, what have you been hearing?
Some of my friends have received these boxes and had photographed them and shared them online. And, you know, you see the box and it says it has 12 fruit portions. And we can only imagine that on the Airheads candy bar is the fruit portion because it's cherry flavored.
There's no fruit.
Some of them, I've seen pictures of some of them with fruit cups, but this one specifically didn't have any. It just had chocolate bars, candy bars, Cheez-It crackers, and, you know, like canned protein. I don't know if it was turkey or something. This person had said, I've never had so much junk food in my kitchen ever. I got this FEMA package.
I've been to Puerto Rico, and in the grocery stores, even on a good day, food is a challenge. I mean, a lot of the food is imported. It's more expensive on the island than the mainland. And I would bet if mainland Americans had to pay those prices that Puerto Ricans paid, there'd be a riot. What is morale like on the island overall?
You know, a lot of people have left. So that tells you something. It's like hundreds of thousands of people. The people who stayed, I think it ebbs and flows because you want to rebuild. And there's people who are every day waking up and helping. But at the same time, it's very easy to feel downtrodden and beaten by not only the effects of the storm, but what seem to be like really systematic problems.
I've heard that some people are struggling with anxiety and depression and even PTSD. Have you seen any evidence of that?
Yeah, of course. There's been reported suicides. I think the official number after the storm came out, and it's in the double digits. It's hard.
Do you find yourself at times struggling with it too?
Yeah, when you mentioned PTSD, like imagine hearing there's another storm coming. It doesn't even have to be a Category 5 because this one turned into a huge storm really quickly. So I don't know what I would do if I heard that there's like a tropical storm coming. Mm. You just don't want to think about that day.
Alfredo, has there been a moment in like the last 50 days or so where you've witnessed people, maybe neighbors of yours even, they've been able to bring some light through this darkness, both the literal and figurative darkness?
Yeah, definitely. And we have this artistic community and our scene is greatly affected because there are no venues for people to play right now. And house parties are sprouting up, which is kind of funny because, you know, you're almost 40 and going to a house party. But you know, you're mingling, you're seeing other people, and there are communal kitchens popping up. People plan their weekends around going to other municipalities and bringing food and aid to less fortunate. All that brings light into the darkness.
Journalist Alfredo Richner, based just outside of San Juan, helping us remember the struggles Puerto Ricans are going through right now. A lot of people here thinking about you, Alfredo. Thank you. And the island.
Thank you very much.
We're seeing the legacy of Vanu Bose in Puerto Rico right now, and that's good news, even though the reason we're telling you this story today is sad. Vanu Bose died this weekend of a sudden pulmonary embolism. He was 52 years old. His company, Vanu Inc., was one of the companies that helped restore some of the cell service in Puerto Rico right after the hurricane. Andrew Beard is Vanu Inc.'s chief operating officer. Vanu Bose, I understand, came from a very well-known, respected family in the tech scene here in Boston and beyond. His father founded the audio equipment company Bose, but Dr. Vanu Bose's son did his own thing. He became an entrepreneur in his own right. Can you tell us about what he did creating Vanu Inc.?
Vanu Inc. was created because Vanu saw the need to improve connectivity throughout the world, and Vanu saw ways of improving that.
Yeah, I mean, just weeks before he passed away, Vanu Inc., his company, and he kind of helped bring back cell service to parts of Puerto Rico that had been damaged by Hurricane Maria. Tell us what he actually did. I mean, what was the plan?
Basically, what we did was to take our telecommunications equipment, which are essentially very small base stations that require very little electricity and are small and lightweight, and brought them down to Puerto Rico, and people could connect to the network and obtain service from very quickly and easily.
So we're talking about Puerto Rico, but Dr. Bose worked in a lot of other communities as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And internationally, we're also doing a lot in Africa and in India. We've got some very significant deployments in Rwanda. We've been working with the government there and the carriers there to extend coverage using our model and this equipment. And in India, we're doing the same thing.
How did Dr. Bose articulate the need for people to be able to communicate? Like, what was his philosophy?
So that's a broad question. I think that communication is both an end in itself and a means to an end. Obviously, in Puerto Rico, people were ecstatic to get service back because they had service and then lost it. So they had come to rely on it very heavily. But it goes beyond that because communication is now the primary means for doing a number of things in places where infrastructure doesn't support good transportation, for example. It might be the primary means for obtaining education. Mm. Banking services are now delivered wirelessly through most of Africa. And you know, those are critical services to being able to expand a business or start a business.
I see that Dr. Bose's grandparents and his mother are first-generation immigrants from India. Did that have any bearing on what he decided to do as work and what he aimed to focus his innovations on?
I think so, Marco, because, you know, Vanu, every couple of years, went to India and visited family there. And he came to know firsthand the needs of people who grew up with a different standard of living. The other thing that I think he learned was the impact that technology can have. The impact on the people and the standard of living has really been dramatic. And I think that is a lesson that was not lost on Vanu.
Andrew Beard is COO of Vanu Inc. He was telling us about the life of his late colleague and friend, Dr. Vanu Bose.